It was an attack against Jesus. There were no stones that were thrown. The attack was spiritual in nature. I'm talking about what we find in Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bible, open it up to Matthew chapter 16, and we'll begin our study tonight in verse number 21. In Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus had been attacked by the devil while he was in the wilderness. The devil came after Jesus, trying to get him not to trust in the will of his Father. And Jesus responded with, "And it is written, it is written, it is written," and the devil went away for a season. But the devil came back and tried to attack Jesus again in Matthew chapter 16. And this attack would be more subtle in nature. I'm reading from Matthew 16 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's.'" It is a powerful interaction between Jesus and the Apostle Peter. Jesus, with his apostles, he was preparing them and trying to get them to see what was about to take place, that he was going to suffer and that he was going to eventually die. And when you look at the response of Peter, it appears that Peter may have been protective of Jesus. Certainly, "Jesus, you're the Messiah. There's no way you're going to suffer. There's no way you're going to die." And so Peter rebuked Jesus and said, "That's never going to happen to you, Lord." But the response of Jesus is fascinating, isn't it? It was sharp and direct. And Jesus told the Apostle Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." As one man has said regarding this situation here, he said, quote, "His death," talking about Jesus, "was so central to God's plan that to oppose it, even from the purest of motives, was to do the work of the devil. By looking at the Lord's statement from a human rather than divine perspective, Peter the rock became a stone of stumbling. Had Christ followed the Peter principle, there would have been devastating consequences for all," end quote. Jesus responded to Peter by telling him, "Get behind me, Satan." It's an interesting statement, isn't it? "Get behind me, Satan." What was Jesus saying there? What did he mean when he said that phrase? I think it's pretty clear what Jesus did not mean. Number one, Jesus was not saying that Peter was Satan. I don't believe that Jesus was saying that Peter was demon-possessed or anything like that. But it appears that Jesus was saying that Peter was being used by the devil. And the devil was trying to go after Jesus. And I got to tell you, when I read this passage and look at this interaction, it's kind of scary. It gives me goosebumps at times, and maybe we should be a little bit fearful when we see what took place here with the Apostle Peter. And it should be reason for all of us this afternoon to be saying in our hearts and our lives, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, Jesus recognized there was a spiritual battle that was taking place. The question for us is, do we recognize the same thing? Do we understand that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle? That the devil is truly our enemy? We've been talking about that all weekend with this teen weekend. And we're going to wrap it up tonight by talking about this subject of "Get behind me, Satan." I want to ask everyone a question. What side are we really on? Are we on the Lord's side? Are we standing with Jesus? Or are we on the devil's side? I know the answer that everybody's going to say, right? Nobody's going to be standing over here. Everybody's going to say, "Of course I'm on the Lord's side. We teach our young children, I'm in the Lord's army," right? Yes, sir, I'm in the Lord's army. But I want you to think about a dreadful possibility for just a moment. And that is this: the possibility of being used by the devil. Are we being used by the devil? I ask that question because if Peter could be used by the devil, if the devil could use Peter to attack Jesus, do you think he might be able to use us for his will? We need the mindset of "Get behind me, Satan." And let me tell you why. Because souls are at stake. Eternity is at stake. And this battle that we are in is not fun and games at all. It's serious. And there are going to be some consequences in the end. And so we need to talk about this a little bit more. There are a couple of thoughts that I want to observe from this interaction from Matthew chapter 16 between Jesus and Peter tonight that I think can help us as we wrap up this series of lessons dealing with spiritual warfare. Again, I want to show my appreciation to everyone here, the congregation. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I had a great time this weekend with all of the young people, and I hope and pray that the lessons this weekend have been beneficial. I want to share with you just a couple of thoughts that I think we can take home from this interaction between Jesus and Peter. And what I want us to see, first of all, is that Satan, what Satan wants to do, and let me hit the clicker here, there it is, Satan is out to use us. We learn a couple of things about our enemy here. Number one, we learn that the devil is real. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus believed that the devil is real. And if we don't believe that he's real, then we have a problem with Jesus, all right? But we see that the devil is real, and we see that Satan wants us to stumble and not to do God's will. When you go back to Matthew chapter 16, again, it was Jesus who told Peter, he said, he turned to him and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." The devil doesn't want us to set our interests on things above, but rather on things below. And so we see what the devil is all about. The devil has his own will, and he wants to use us to accomplish his will. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we can see from this interaction between Jesus and Peter, and that is that Satan wants to use you, he wants to use me to accomplish his will. One of the tools that the devil will use are people to accomplish his will. In fact, we see this all throughout the Bible. When you go back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, the devil used Eve to attack Adam. Now, the devil went after Eve and he defeated her, but he also used Eve to attack Adam. In Genesis chapter 4, if you recall the interaction between Cain and Abel, remember God warned Cain. He said, "Listen, sin is crouching at the door." He warned him about what was going to take place. And the devil was able to defeat Cain and also use Cain to attack Abel. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, I want you to open up your Bible there. We find a scary situation that took place here in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 when David was reigning over Israel. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, I want you to notice here that the devil is in the business of using people to accomplish his will. He does not want us to follow the will of God. He wants us to stumble and he wants us to be defeated. And what we see in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." Satan used David to go after the entire nation of Israel. He wants to use us to accomplish his will. This is so fascinating in this chapter because David, for some reason, decided to number the people. And there's some additional information that we could look at here. But for the sake of time, David was doing something that he had no business doing. He had no authority from God to do what he did. And so he decided to number the people. And Joab, in verse number 3, it says, "May the Lord add to his people 100 times as many as they are. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why does my lord seek this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt to Israel?" Joab was begging King David, "David, don't do this. Because what you're getting ready to do is sin in the eyes of God." David said, "Look, my mind is made up. I'm going to do this." And what I want you to see is that Satan used David to accomplish his will. He stood up against the nation of Israel. And he would accomplish a lot through David. In the New Testament, turn over to Acts chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas and John Mark were traveling and proclaiming the gospel. In Acts chapter 13, we see again how the devil would use individuals to try to accomplish his will and to try to hold back the gospel message. In Acts chapter 13, there's a man by the name of Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence in verse number 7, and he had summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But there is another man. A man by the name of Elymas. And what we find is that Elymas was going to try his best to make sure that Sergius Paulus did not hear the word of God. I want you to notice how Paul described this man, because he was trying to seek to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Verse 9, "But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze on him and said, 'You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil.'" It doesn't get any more clear than that. "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord?" You see what was taking place there? This man was being used by the devil to try to hold back the will of God. The devil would try to use him. What about Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 11? In Galatians chapter 2, remember the situation with the Apostle Peter where he played the role of a hypocrite. Certainly the devil attacked Peter. But he also went after some others at the same time. Because through the actions of Peter, others would begin to stumble, like Barnabas and some of the other great men in that at that time. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy." Yeah, the devil went after Peter. He was also attacking some other individuals too. One of the things that we see is that we are in this spiritual battle, and the Satan wants to use us. He wants to use people to accomplish his will. The devil uses people. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, some powerful language here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want you just to notice this idea of what Satan seeks to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 14, Paul said, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his ministers also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds." Make no mistake about it, my friends. Satan has a will for you and for me, and he seeks to accomplish his will by using us. He wants to use us, and the question is, are we going to allow the devil to use us to accomplish his will? You see, we need the mindset of, "Get behind me, Satan." We need to have the mindset that the devil here, he is the unwelcomed visitor. There is no room for the devil here in this congregation. There's no room for the devil in our homes. There's no room for the devil in our lives, because all he is after is trying to destroy us and to use us to accomplish his will. That's one of the things that we learn through this interaction, and yet there's something else. What is he trying to do as he wants us to do his will? Well, he wants us to do this. He wants to use us, and he wants to use us to hurt others. That's what he's all about. That's what he's trying to do. And all you got to do is look around in the world and you can see how people are being used, unfortunately, by the devil to accomplish his will. We can look around the world. We can look in Beaumont. We can look in Houston and see the ministers that work on behalf of the devil. We can see men and women who do not proclaim the true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Satan is not just content in using them. He wants us. He wants you to hurt others. And it may not be through false teaching, but he has plenty of other ways to get his will accomplished. Think going back to the story of Peter in Galatians chapter 2. One of the ways that the devil wants to use us is to hurt others, is to hurt our brothers and sisters in Christ. Peter played the role of a hypocrite. And that action of Peter had a ripple effect. He hurt his brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus had warned him earlier about how to view the Gentiles, going back in Acts chapter 10. And yet, sadly, Peter allowed Satan to use him instead of having the mentality of, "You get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to treat my brother and sister like that. I'm going to treat them the right way." You see, one of the ways that the devil wants to use us is with our relationships as brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is why we need to have a "get behind me, Satan" mentality. Listen, every elder, every deacon, every preacher, every member needs to have this mindset. Because make no mistake about it, the devil knows what you guys are doing here at the Kleinwood congregation. And he is not pleased that you are doing the work of God. He is not pleased that you're trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he is going to try his best to sneak in and to devour you. And that's why all of us need to have this "get behind me, Satan" mentality. Because he is working. And we are in this spiritual conflict. We are in this battle. And we need to take it seriously, because the devil is taking it seriously and he is coming after us. That's what we have to do. And so we have to decide, are we going to let the devil use us? Am I going to be the one that's going to gossip against my brother or sister in Christ? Am I going to be the one that's not going to forgive my brother or sister in Christ? Am I going to be the one that's going to hold that grudge? Am I going to be the one that will be used by the devil? We need to have a get behind me, Satan mentality. Do you agree with that? That's the mindset that we need to have. And he's going to try to hurt us here. He's going to try to hurt you here in this local congregation. And there's another place where he's going to try to hurt us. He's going to try to hurt us in our homes. And all we have to do is look around and we can see how successful the devil truly has been. When you go back to the story of Genesis, look at all the conflict between Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. He destroyed that family to some degree. He got involved. He got in the mix of that. And Eve would have influence upon Adam, and Adam didn't fulfill the role that he was supposed to have. And Cain was going against his brother Abel. Go back to Genesis chapter 4, and I want you to notice again, because we really need to take this seriously. Cain had been warned by God. Cain had been told by God, Cain, the devil is coming after you, and you cannot allow him to be successful. In Genesis chapter 4, in verse number 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Despite the warning from God, Cain didn't take it seriously. Brothers and sisters, there's a warning for us in our homes. The devil is going to come after us in our homes. And isn't it amazing that he wants to try to destroy us from within? If he can get the man of the household to go in the wrong direction, then he can maybe get the entire family to do the same. If he can get children to rebel against mom and dad, then he can cause a lot of disruption in the home. The devil is going to try to hurt us in our homes. See, Cain allowed the devil to use him to hurt his family. The question is, are we going to allow the devil to do the same in our homes? You see, we really get to decide. And every father, every mother, every child needs to have a get behind me, Satan mentality. Because he is active. And all we have to do is look, sadly, in local congregations, and we can see how the devil has devastated so many families. We can see how the devil has used some fathers in the household and has gotten them addicted to pornography, and that slowly has a ripple effect throughout their entire families to the point where husbands and wives are now getting divorced and young children no longer have mom and dad in the home. We can look around and we can see how the devil can destroy families from within. And we have these warnings all the time. We are given these warnings all the time. The question is, are we actually going to take them seriously? You see, we get to decide. I am not going to allow the devil to use me. Get behind me, Satan. Maybe we should start saying that out loud. People may feel a little bit uncomfortable with that, but maybe we should have that mindset. Get behind me, Satan, because he is going to try to be working in our homes. He's going to try to use us. And what's scary about all this, King David made a decision, and that decision would have a ripple effect on thousands of lives. The Apostle Peter made a decision in Galatians chapter 2, and that would have a ripple effect on many lives of those saints in the first century. And I'm sure they never imagined how a single choice they made could wind up costing them so much so quickly. The devil wants to use us to create chaos, not just in our lives, but also in the lives of others. And so the obvious answer and the response from all of us needs to be, I'm not going to allow the devil to use me. If this is his goal to use us to accomplish his will and to hurt others, the response that we need to have is, I'm not going to allow Satan to use me, no matter what. Now, what does that look like? What does that mean if this is going to be our mindset? There are a couple of things that we need to hold on to. If that truly is going to be our mindset, that no matter what, I'm not going to allow the devil to use me. He's not going to be welcomed in my home. He's not going to be welcome in my relationships here in the local church. He's not going to use me to do his will. Let me give you three things that will help us to make sure that we have this mindset. and some things that we can do on a daily basis. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, please, in verse number 27. If we truly are going to say, get behind me, Satan, if we truly are going to mean that, if we truly are going to decide, no longer is the devil going to use me, I am not going to do his will, I am not going to be working for him, I am going to be standing fast upon the word of God, then the first thing that we're going to have to do, we're going to have to make sure that we help ourselves. We have to help ourselves. And what I mean by that is that we have to have the mentality, I'm not going to give the devil any room in my life. In Ephesians chapter 4, that's what Paul would say in verse 26. He said, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity. So Paul was saying, don't give him an opportunity. And maybe this is where we need to start saying, get behind me, Satan, that no matter what, he is not going to be welcomed in my heart. Get behind me, Satan. If we have that mentality, then that's part of the battle. That's where we can be successful by at least helping ourselves to see, no matter what situation I'm in, I'm not going to allow the devil to use me. He's going to have to stay behind me. And when we have that mindset, that's going to help us out. But that's not going to be enough. That's really just the beginning. There's something else that we're going to have to do. If we're truly going to have this mindset of get behind me, Satan, first, yeah, we got to help ourselves. But then we're going to have to let other people help us. We're going to need help along the way. The devil is like a roaring lion. And what he would love for us to do is to try to make it on this journey of Christianity all by ourselves. If you're trying to make it to heaven all by yourself, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Because we need one another. And there are going to be times where we're going to have others help us. Think about this for a moment. Athletes have coaches to help correct form. Professionals have life coaches to keep them on the right track. Christians, who do we have? We have Christians. We have one another to help us along the way. King David needed Joab to help him. He warned him, David, don't do this. King David, he didn't listen to him, but he did have somebody who was trying to help him along the way. The Apostle Peter needed the help of Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 to help him to see, listen, you're going down the wrong path. Your mindset is not where it needs to be. And so we're going to need one another. And we're going to have to really listen to wise counsel. David had Nathan. And I believe all of us need a Nathan in our lives. You understand what I mean when I say that? We all need a Nathan in our lives, someone who can get face to face with us. Someone who can say, hey, listen, I'm kind of seeing some blind spots, some things that maybe you may not be aware of, but I need to talk to you about a couple of things. I'm starting to see that you're going down the wrong path. David needed Nathan to confront him, to be honest with him, to help him to see, David, you need some help because what you're doing is wrong. And if we're truly going to get Satan to be behind us once and for all, we are going to need one another. To the young people, can I say this? You will need help along the way. Contrary to belief, you do not know everything about this world. And I know you guys are very smart, but you don't know everything about the world, okay? And you're going to need help along the way, which means you're going to have to listen to mom and dad. Young ladies, when you're dating that young boy, you're going to have to listen when mom and dad talk to you and say, you know what? We need to talk about a couple of things. Young men, as you're dating that young woman and mom and dad says, son, we need to talk a little bit about this girl here. You're going to have to take their wisdom and take their counsel. You need help along the way. The truth of the matter is we all need help. Would you agree with that? It doesn't matter if you're an elder or a deacon or a preacher. We need one another. We need help along the way. David had Joab trying to help him, and yet he did not take his counsel. And so while we need help along the way, we also have to do something else. We're actually going to have to listen to the advice. We're actually going to have to take a step back and say, you know what, maybe there's some truth to this. Maybe there is something that I'm missing. Because it's easy to say, okay, I'll let somebody help me out along the way. But David, he had Joab, he didn't listen to him. And what about in Matthew chapter 26? Turn over to Matthew chapter 26 and look at verses 31 and 32. Matthew chapter 26 and verses 31 and 32. The Bible says in Matthew 26, 31 and 32, after Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Jesus said to them, talking to his apostles, you will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this very night before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. All the disciples said the same thing too. Jesus was trying to help them. He was trying to warn them. He was trying to get them to see some things that they were missing. And yet while they were given this counsel and given this warning, they didn't truly listen to it. And so that is what we're going to have to do. I mean, we don't like to be corrected. We don't like it when someone says, you know, let's talk a little bit because I see you're going in this direction. But we're going to need that so that we can be successful over our adversary, the devil. That's how we can have this get behind me, Satan mentality. We're going to need one another. We're going to need a Nathan. We're going to have to do this together collectively as a team. And yet, that's not even enough. While we need to help ourselves and have the right mentality, while we need help from one another, we're also going to need the help from God. We have to allow God to help us so that we can be victorious. Ultimately, we will have to constantly look into the mirror of God's word that will convict our soul to the point of confession and repentance. We will need to evaluate our motives and our interests. Are my motives really the motives that God wants me to have? Are my interests on things above or on things below? Am I doing what God wants me to do in his word? We will need God's word for our defense. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, again, he went to the word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. And my friends, without God, you may have the right mindset, you may have others trying to help you, but if you're not going to listen to what God says in his word and have this mentality, we're ultimately never really going to be successful. But this is how we can defeat the devil. We can do it by telling ourselves, I'm not going to give any room for the devil. He's not going to be welcomed in my heart. I'm going to have to rely upon one another. I need you. You are my family, and I need you along the way. And ultimately, I need to stay connected to what God has to say in his word. And when we have that mentality, then we will truly be able to say, get behind me, Satan. We will not only be able to say it, but we will see Satan run away. Because the Bible tells us if we resist him, he will do what? He will flee. He's not all powerful. He doesn't run the show. We get to decide. Am I going to allow the devil to use me for his will? Or am I going to stand fast upon the word of God? What this will require is for us to stay focused on a daily basis. This will require effort on our part and as a team, but make no mistake about it, we can be successful because the victory is already given to us in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then hold on to it and trust what God has to say in his word. And as we leave here this afternoon, we got to have a get behind me, Satan mentality. Get on that highway, I'm going to have a get behind me, Satan mentality. Some of the drivers get a little crazy here in Houston. I drive home, I'm going to have that mentality. Monday, when you go to work, you're going to have that mentality. Get behind me, Satan. When you're at home, maybe some challenges come along the way. I'm not going to give any room for the devil. Be angry and do not sin. Get behind me, Satan. In every situation, we're going to have this mentality that Satan is not going to have any rule in our lives. We can resist him and he will flee. So let me ask you the question I asked at the beginning. Which side are you on? Which side are we on? God's side or the devil's side? Our actions will truly show which side we are on. Let's make sure that we are bearing good fruit for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, maybe there's someone here tonight who has not been saved by the blood of Jesus. The devil does not want you to be saved. And you need to tell the devil, get behind me, Satan. You know what you need to do. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You need to take action, and action right now. Not sooner or later, but right now. You need to obey what Jesus wants you to do. And if you are already cleansed and saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, then keep telling yourself and keep telling the devil that he's not going to have any room in your heart and that we're going to do the will of God. If you're subject to the invitation, come now as we stand and as we sing.